Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well done, everyone. You've made the incredible choice to listen to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Yes, my name is Marcus Speller. I'm actually Pete Donaldson. Marcus isn't very well. Get well soon. Hashtag pray for Marcus.
I'm here, mate. Marcus.
What?
Marcus.
You're Marcus. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
I'm Marcus and so's my wife.
Yes.
Who's the fat mouthy idiot?
I am Marcus's wife, Marcus.
Hello,
don't
Marcus.
Don't you dare speak about Lord Ramble like that.
Lord Ramble got us in loads of trouble last week with the Frasier Cheers spin-off.
He did,
nonsense.
Yeah. A lot of people thought we genuinely didn't know what Frasier was. Yeah.
And were then angry when we did.
Yeah.
Although, very weird.
Although I knew the soundtrack.
Or as it should be pronounced, Fraser.
Fraser Kane.
So it's been
Canadian shock jock.
It's been a very, very busy week for football. Shall we start with the England-Netherlands match? Obviously,
yeah.
We haven't had a chance to talk about that. An okay performance? I don't really know, to be honest. What do we take from that match?
It was a strange one, wasn't it? I'm not sure if we actually mentioned this about the Germany game on the show earlier in the week, but it looked very clear that England were practicing playing on the counter-attack,
yeah.
Which is something obviously they need to do, especially against bigger teams, and it worked very well.
It looks like we're trying to practice how to play like England.
Well, indeed.
Against the Netherlands.
But I wondered if the idea was to practice protecting a lead, which they then failed at. even if you factor in, oh, that was a foul on Jagielka, the second goal shouldn't have stood, you know, that's still a failure. But I wonder, because it was a very different performance. But then it was almost an entirely different team. So that's to be expected, isn't it?
Did Rose cover himself in glory?
It wasn't the best performance,
no, was
it? Danny Rose is a funny one in general, because he's had a great season for Tottenham, but there have been times in the past where he's looked like a bit of a liability for them, and maybe he's not been quite up to it. And I worry a little bit that the changed environment might bring that out of him for England. But who knows? We shall see.
I enjoyed the game. I thought it was a little bit like coming back down to earth after a wonderful trip into the atmosphere,
like slipping into a terrible warm bath.
Yeah.
It was almost so well.
It was almost like the footballing gods went, "Would you like to know what it's like to actually be a good international football team?
Yeah,
here you go for one night, like a Willy Wonka golden ticket.
One night in heaven.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And one night in heaven.
One night in heaven in Berlin.
Yeah,
and then." And then we got brought crashing down to earth to an extent. But the reason I say to an extent is because, as Jim's touched on, a number of players who featured probably won't start.
Yeah.
One of the goals for Netherlands was a terrible refereeing decision. I mean,
out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other one was obviously a penalty. So it's nothing to be too sort of downhearted about, especially when you take into account the fact that England's goal was amazing.
Yeah.
England's goal was amazing. It was a brilliant goal.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the reason that I want you all to understand it was amazing is because it's very easy to watch that going, oh yeah, it was a good goal. That was England that scored that goal. We're all used to watching great football teams over the years, like Barcelona and all that. That was England that scored that.
At speed as well.
That was a non-English goal.
It was a beautiful move. It really was. And,
on that note, Pete, just before we move on from international football, because I know it's the Premier League preview show. After the Germany game, England's odds to win Euro 2016 with Bet365 were 10-1. They're now into 8-1 to win it.
So after losing?
No, after the Germany game.
Right.
But what I was going to go on to say was they haven't righted themselves again after Netherlands. So it seems to me that the betting community at large don't put too much stock in the Netherlands result anyway.
Yeah, well, friendlies are, you know, regardless of how close to the tournament they are and how exciting they may seem, they never really have an effect, do they? Do you remember actually a similar friendly where England beat Argentina 3-2 in Geneva?
That was a great game.
Amazing.
That was the best England friendly I've seen. Up until Germany get
yeah,
Germany.
It was brilliant.
They're the only two I can think of that I've really enjoyed watching.
Were England 2-0 down in that as well?
Not sure. But every other friendly England have played pretty much has been you watch it out of like a sense of duty because you do a football show.
Yes, we're tied to you forever.
But sometimes the work can be enjoyable. And it was in Berlin. But I also really enjoyed Danny Drinkwater's performance against Neville. Yes. It was excellent. Most touches of any player on either team, most passes completed.
He did shank a massive one out of play though.
That will happen from time to time. And some people are never happy.
Yeah.
All the more interesting when they happen to support Newcastle United.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what do you want? Shelby in there, dear. Yeah, John Joe Shelves in there.
Jack Colback accidentally like kicking a hole in the turf and falling into it. Is that what you want?
I
don't want them anywhere near that Wembley turf, to be quite frank.
No, good.
It's treacherous for crying out loud.
Yeah, true.
We need all the help we can get.
But it's interesting. On that front, I wanted to bring, on the Drinkwater front, I wanted to bring Jim into it because I wanted to say to you, Jim, that apparently Jack Wilshere is playing an under-21s game for Arsenal tomorrow night.
I think it might be a week tomorrow night. So less preparation.
Yeah. So he's going to have probably the best part of 8 weeks preparation if he has no injury setbacks and he plays a reasonable part in Arsenal's running.
Yeah.
I saw Adrian Clarke, ex-Arsenal player, on Twitter today saying that he thinks Wilshere's got to start if he's fit. I wonder if he can get fit, and if he can't, I think Drinkwater and Dara are the best options at the base of that midfield.
Did Adrian mean Wilshere has to start for Arsenal or for England?
England.
Really?
Yeah.
It touches on what we spoke about last week. If it's Jack Wilshere at his peak form, then yeah, he probably is in that team.
And I'd agree with that.
How do we know he's going to be in his peak form? Let's not forget that he's had this entire season out injured, coming off the back of a season in which he was largely out for it injured entirely. And yes, he played well in the few games where he was back, and he actually scored a couple of goals for England in a qualifier when he was back. So yeah, maybe he can bounce back from injury very well. But 2 years without football, you're taking that gamble that he's going to be at his best.
I mean,
there are players there that are good enough, I think we should don't need
yeah,
that risk.
I think we should have moved on. But with Wilshere, it was the most Arsenal thing ever, because it was in the Evening Standard today that I read that he might play in the under-21s. And it basically gave a little bit of a recap of what happened when he was injured, when he actually got the injury. And Arsene Wenger literally quoted this saying he's going to be out 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
It's just a knock on the shin.
Is that
a knock
this
on
one
the shin,
or the last one?
This one. A knock on the shin, which turned out to be a broken fibula.
It's a knock on the shin.
Knock on the shin. Technically a knock on the shin.
He's not wrong, is he? He's not wrong there.
I'm going to knock, knock, knock on shin until it goes through.
Do you think that's why Arsenal's problems with injuries are so bad? Because the medical department is just Wenger looking at it and going, oh yeah, it should be fine. It was just a knock on the shin.
Yeah.
Like, no more investigation than that.
It's like Night Out at Monty Python. It's just a flesh wound.
Or can you imagine the physio sort of like assessing a player and Wenger just standing in the doorway, arms folded, and every time the physio says he's going to be out for 8 weeks, Wenger just shakes his head.
Six weeks?
Four? Get the 2 to 3 days?
He's not injured?
He's fit.
Get the tragic sponge out. Isn't that supposed to be a magic sponge?
No.
It's a cricket bat.
Yeah.
With a nail
in the end of it.
I'm just worried about Jack Wilshere's body weight. Obviously, it's hard to kind of come back into. So he's got to up his cigarettes, isn't he? Really, let's make it very clear there. In the Premier League, there is a full complement of matches. Obviously, some really interesting ones. Arsenal versus Watford's going to be quite a nice celebration, presumably, of Rocky Rorcastle's life. Obviously, he died 15 years to the day. A bit before your time, a little bit, Jim.
A tiny bit, but I'm aware of how much affection there is for David Rorcastle all around the club, not just at Arsenal as well. Some of the other clubs he played for.
I saw a picture of him playing under-21s, reserve team football with John Terry. John Terry was 16 or 16 or 17, playing in the same team, same Chelsea team as Rorcastle.
Well, Watford are going to the Emirates, aren't they? And they beat Arsenal at the Emirates in the FA
Cup.
Yes,
so it's an important game. Arsenal need to get back on track. But,
indeed. But we're going on to probably the most delicious of fixtures. Leicester, Southampton, Alex Ferguson, that is, has said that Leicester deserve the title. Do they though, lads? Do they? Is it for him to say?
There's a rigorous system of testing that's been put in place, isn't it? Over 38 games to see who deserves
numbers,
it.
I think, while I'll concede that if anyone is qualified to dish out a Premier League title before time, it's probably Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
As Jim says, it's not really the time.
Yeah.
And we will certainly see over the next 7 games, but I think Leicester will probably go on to do it. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, some of those titles were Steve McLaren's as a coach, so he should have a shout, really, for giving it a little bit.
Well, absolutely.
What's his opinion?
He'll take anything he can get, yeah. Presumably.
But the Saints are only 4 points off a Champions League place. Do they deserve that? Do they deserve a Champions League place? Because, look, you were unequivocal, let's say, about their poor form around about Christmas. They were pretty terrible, but they managed to pick it up, and they're steaming ahead.
Yeah, probably what spurred them on.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
They did go for a terrible patch, but they bounced back now. Mm. They're only 4 points off top four, but the thing is, Bet365 have them at 80-1 to get into the top four.
Wow. Really?
At this stage, of a huge price. Yeah, so £10 on that gets you £800 back, plus your stake.
As you pointed out yourself, Luke, it's not the points you have to haul in, it's the teams.
Yeah, you know,
the teams up the top, they don't drop that many points.
Yeah, so. I think there's no science to back this up, and there really is with me. But the situation is that I think...
You're all gut.
It gets exponentially harder the more teams you have to overhaul. It's not just about the points, because you're relying on other teams to drop points. And the more teams you're relying on to do that, it becomes very complicated, because then they end up playing each other and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
and it can't always work. But 80-1 is a fair price. I mean, they're in good form. The problem is also they've played a game more than Arsenal, Man City, West Ham and Man United, so that'll play a part as well.
Mm. So Southampton are in really, really good form. So I think this is going to be quite a tough game for Leicester, potentially. Graziano Pella's in really, really good form, and he's obviously quite a big, tough striker. I'm looking forward to him against the Hoof.
Oh, God.
Can he handle the Hoof?
That'll be a battle for all the ages.
Yeah.
But I said this a couple of weeks ago, and now Leicester are getting into a situation which should, I mean, nerves aside, be easier for them, because these teams they're playing need to win. And Leicester are so good on the break that it play into Leicester's hands. So Leicester are 23-20 to win against Southampton with Bet365.
Right.
So £10 on that returns you £21.50, including your stake. So it'll be a fascinating game if it goes the way we think it might go, and Southampton, who are gunning for points themselves, really play into Leicester's hands.
Is all you have to do to win the Premier League offer your players pizza?
It seems to be bread based. I mean, they're probably off the carbs, aren't they? Unless it's
everyone else is.
The
people will be kicking themselves about it. Oh, why did we realise that in the 70s when pizza first came to the UK?
Well, Rooney was quite vocal about the fact that he hated Saturday morning games or Saturday afternoon games at like 12 o'clock, 12:30, 12:45, right. That he had to eat pasta at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
I can imagine.
He wouldn't be doing that anyway.
I think surely it would mess with the system, right? I
mean, yeah, pasta for breakfast isn't appealing. Is it?
No. Sounds like a terrible band. But yeah, it's like, it would be hard to sort of wolf down. But yeah, I imagine pizza would be a much easier thing.
I think
put cheese on anything, I'll eat it.
I mean, yeah,
house brick.
Leftover pizza is a wonderful breakfast.
Yeah,
and in many occasions growing up in Hartlepool, house brick was all you had to eat.
Couldn't even get them.
No, couldn't get
breeze
them.
Just crushed up breeze block,
half one each,
slathered in coal dust.
They said it was Cinder Toffee.
I will defer to the extraordinary professional athlete is Wayne Rooney, but I wonder if eating pasta 2.5 hours before a game is the right thing to do anyway. Surely that's the night before.
Has he been taught to do that?
That's the night before food, isn't it?
I remember, I think I probably said this on the Ramble before, but I ate steak tartare once before a Ramble football match.
I was there, I remember.
I did not feel very well.
No.
Not a great thing to eat.
I remember you doing that, yeah. I remember you. I vividly remember you chopping up the raw egg into the raw meat and thinking, that boy is a caveman.
Then
I'm pleased I'm on the same team as him this afternoon.
He's going to go feral just at the right
then
time.
Then I tore my shirt off and try to kiss Rick Edwards.
He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man.
And then vomited.
He's a man statue. Newcastle versus Norwich. Can the new Shearer Mitrovic pull a North East club out of the mire? Is the question. It's a 6-pointer. It's a relegation 6-pointer, guys.
6 points, isn't it? Because Newcastle are 3 points behind Norwich, but they do have a game in hand. So if they win
Man City.
Well, it's a chance, isn't
it's
it?
It's a chance.
And who knows with Man City?
Yeah, you don't know what Man City's going to turn up.
You don't know where they're going.
At least 80 million on the field.
Yeah. But the thing is, Man City look like they're slightly on the beach, so it depends on the quality of the holidays they have booked.
I think so, yeah. It'll be Dubai, no doubt.
Neither team are very good.
Well, you're pulling out all the stops now, Marcus is an AS.
Neither team
are any good.
Sometimes it's good to give the football watching public at large a reminder.
Paul
Tell
Merson.
It like it is.
Norwich and Newcastle have only won two games between them in recent memory. Both of those wins have been against West Brom. There you go.
Newcastle
did absolutely smash Norwich, though, didn't they? They beat them 6-2 back in October, I think it was.
God, that seems like a generation ago now.
We said at the time it's like Newcastle used up too many goals at once, and it actually turned out to be true. true. Maybe they'll do it again. Are you worried about that?
I think that's the only time this season, the whole season, that Newcastle have beaten a team by more than one goal.
Is that true?
Which is a dreadful stat.
That neither team can defend, over 2.5 goals with Bet365 is 11 to 10. So £10 on that returns you £21, including your stake. That might be a way to go because, like I say, these teams just dish out rough approximations of defending. The marking will be mainly fictional.
Yeah. Leaving aside Aston Villa training, is this the two worst defences in the league?
Hey, guy,
quite entertaining.
Let me just grab Luke by the arm and say, Luke, I can assure you, Colaccini is back in training. All right, guys. 39-year-old Fabrizio Colaccini.
I'll sleep well
back
tonight.
In training.
By the way, if Aston Villa now, you know, we had that thing a while ago where Aston Villa were beaten 3-0 by their reserve team, whatever, something like that. If Aston Villa's two teams play each other now, I think it might open up a vortex to another universe where no football is allowed to be played.
Gary Megson rules it with an iron fist. They're trying to play football, but they just can't figure it out.
So if it happens midweek, do stay away from the Bodymore Heath area. You might be sucked in.
I think so. Right, before we hit an ad break, just briefly, Abue Man, what the hell's going on there, guys?
That's a shame, isn't it?
Right. So,
that was the silver lining. Basically, Emmanuel Abue has had some sort of issue with an agent where he's owed him some money. He's been told he has to pay it. He's decided to just not do that. So he's been banned from football for a year. Apparently, if he does pay it, there's the chance it will be overturned, but there's like an appeal process and stuff. Sunderland have basically just cancelled his short-term contract. We were all looking forward to seeing what chaos would reign when that man stepped back onto a Premier League football pitch, and we've been robbed of it.
I think
his own chaos.
I think Big Sam Allardyce was having one of his monthly aggregated marginal gains meetings and said, what can we do to get any sort of advantage for the rest of the season? Not have signed Abue? No worries.
Fine.
I'll take care of it.
Abue frankly trying to see if he can pay his debts with costumes.
It's probably not even a concern.
Yeah.
Big Sam probably just put a word in someone's ear. So can you ban him?
Can you ban him for a bit? Because he really is a destabilising prospect.
I was hoping he'd get himself sent off, but he's not even good enough to get in the team.
Right, we'll be back very soon with more Premier League chat. We're going to touch on Man United, Everton, and a bit of Villa Chelsea as well. They've had a week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
You're listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Pete Donaldson in for Marcus Speller with Jim, and I'm with Luke. How yous doing?
Same
Did you have
as
a good break?
Before,
I mean, it was literally seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah,
literally seconds.
Wheeze fine.
Liverpool versus Spurs, guys. Spurs needing a win to keep pace with Leicester. Is this a thigh rubber?
The first game between them was 0-0.
Is this a thigh rubber?
Yeah, the first game between them was 0-0.
Am I rubbing your thigh right now?
I hope so.
I think this is a potentially good game because Tottenham basically play the game that Liverpool are trying to play but don't seem to have the fitness to maintain. So obviously people always say going to Anfield's tough, and it is, but at the same time it's second against ninth, isn't it? So I think Tottenham have a good chance here. They just, they could even just let Liverpool tie themselves out for a bit and then just kill it off late on with a Christian Eriksen goal. That seems to be a pattern that works for them.
You never really know what Liverpool you're going to get, do you?
Not really.
It's very, very difficult to predict. They're a bit like Man United in the way. You never really know what's going to turn up.
And Spurs will be tired from being England.
Just changing their shirts to another white and getting on with it.
A worse white shirt. It is a worse white shirt. I don't even like that.
I don't care.
It's a badly designed shirt. Everyone hates the New England kit.
I quite like the throwback nature of it. I didn't like it at first, but then I warmed to it.
John Motson had an absolute meltdown on the radio last week.
It's not that unusual now.
Specifically about this kit. There was a chat show after the game, and Motson was on some sort of panel, and he said, he basically tried to get a bit of camaraderie with another pundit, I forget who it was, about the fact that the red shirts, the sleeves were mauve.
Mm. Right.
And he starts going, you know, the thing is that the sleeves are mauve. And someone was like, yeah, you know, they aren't they? And it was like, it wasn't the response he wanted. And then after that, for the rest of like the half an hour section, it was like, he would just, every so often, John Motts in the back would just go, mauve!
I do like when veterans, it's usually veterans of the game, they rock up to a studio and they go, right, I've got one point.
Yeah.
I've got one bit of stand up. I've got one bit of material, and I'm going to do a load of stuff around it.
A few people were saying last week that John Motts was no longer in touch with the general public. Listen to this hour.
Yeah, exactly. the mauve public.
The mauve hour.
But the Spurs need that win. They really do need the 3 points.
Well, do you predict that Leicester will beat Southampton then? Is that what you're saying?
Because
Leicester and Southampton played the following day. Mm. So Spurs, it's important for Spurs to go around and get a win to pile the pressure on Leicester, yep. Definitely.
Yep.
Because if we're going to see Leicester fall over under this pressure, it's probably going to start around this weekend.
Yeah.
It's vital for Spurs on that Saturday night game, which everyone will be watching, for them to beat Liverpool at Anfield. They can do it. It's just whether they respond to the pressure themselves.
When they were tested a couple of weeks ago in this same situation, pretty much. I think Leicester played after Spurs, didn't they?
Did they? I can't remember.
They didn't manage to do it. So
I was against West Brom, 2-2.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then that was before, wasn't it? And that turned out to be a point gain because everyone else got beat.
Right, okay,
yeah.
Yes.
Even so, though, Tottenham have to win to just maintain the pressure on Leicester, even if Leicester do win. They're running out of games to close that gap. Mm. You know, they've effectively got to win every game, pretty much, from this point.
Mm.
If they both lose and Arsenal get a win against Watford, it's on.
Either way, the Premier League wins.
It is not.
The Premier League and its shareholders win, and that's the main thing, I think. Manchester United, Everton, it's the Moisey Derby.
It's not the Moisey
Derby. It's the Moisey Derby.
He's not involved with any club anymore.
It's the Moisey Derby.
Have you had a blow to the head and forgotten what year it is again?
Mauve. Mauve.
That'll be you in 40 years' time on the radio. Some local radio station, probably run by the BBC if it still exists. You just go, Mauve.
They've made it very clear they don't want me.
Draining another bottle of red wine.
It's part of
one of those deals you get in the back of a magazine.
Yeah. It's a box. It's not a bottle.
Yeah. No, but he's taken the bladder out of the
absolutely.
Box.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's round his neck. And he's got a straw.
Secreted it around the person.
It's around his neck along with his house keys on a chain. Otherwise he forgets them.
And a little note for whoever finds him.
And people go, have you got, Pete, are you all right? I've got, it's my space suit. It's my silver space suit.
Please return me to my house via the off licence if this bladder is empty.
So if Man United do win their game in hand, they are going to be 8 points behind Spurs. Should Spurs be worried?
No, there'll be six games left after that.
No.
I'm no mathematician, but I don't even know if that's going to be possible.
Is this the most undignified end to a really celebrated career like Van Gaal?
Well, it's up there, isn't it?
If it is, it's his own fault. Isn't it? He's in charge.
I know, but I mean, he's been hamstrung by players like, I don't know, who have we had?
He's been hamstrung by the players he spent £250 million signing.
We've had some very underwhelming footballers.
Yeah, but surprisingly underwhelming, like Angel Di Maria.
He's almost like a forgotten man now.
Yeah, but he's doing really well at PSG, you know, because as you would expect, because he's a top level player. Yeah. It's just like everyone's forgetting about his bizarre year at Man United.
People are forgetting about his time at Man United, and also the fact that he cost £42 billion as well, which is an exact figure, by the way. If he met all the add-ons.
Yeah. Falcao, anyone?
Hey, no, Falcao,
Falcao
as well.
Another one.
Yeah, legendary footballers. Well,
despite all that, Manchester United are 19-20, so odds on to beat Everton at Old Trafford on Sunday. And £10 on that returns you £19.50, so a £9.50 profit with Bet365.
Will Everton, with the new money, be looking at a new manager next season?
It's yet to be seen, isn't it? I wouldn't be that surprised. That'll be one of those decisions where people go, oh, that's harsh on Martinez, he deserves a bit more. But if that happens in the summer, I will go, yeah, that makes sense
in the
modern game.
Is there a fly in the ointment here, Jim, for that, thinking that Everton may well win the FA Cup?
Possibly, yeah. That's done wonders for him before.
They're going to get new. I think they're going to get new owners in Goodison Park, but it would be a cruel man indeed who fired him after that.
Yeah, actually, the new owners thing puts even more pressure on, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. And it's a big if, because obviously none of these things have happened yet. But if he does win the FA Cup and then leaves, he'll surely be the only manager in English history to have won two FA Cups and leave like the very next week.
Yeah.
Both times.
Absolutely.
Did that at Wigan as well, of course.
I actually think United will win this. I think they'll probably step it up and their form will be a bit less patchy from now on when they have to. And Everton actually have surprisingly okay away form. They've only lost once in their last 14. Seven of those were draws. But when you look at the season they're having, they're actually surprisingly sort of good away from home. So who knows?
If you predict Man United to start hitting a bit of form, are you essentially saying you think Man City will miss out on the top four? Because that would be fascinating with Guardiola.
I don't know, but I think they're going to... I think they're going to start sort of matching each other a little bit more, and the race for that will probably become between those two. We talk about, you know, West Ham and maybe even Southampton like driving up there, but at some point, surely that rivalry is going to click into gear and they're both going to buck their ideas up. Well, I still can't get my head around the idea that both teams would be so inconsistent.
Well, do it, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I might have to.
Stop blaming yourself for your own deficiencies. get your head around it.
You know, they've got two tough away games after this Everton game. They go to Watt Lane on the 10th, and then they play West Ham in the FA Cup in the game after that. But one of the things, speaking of Man United, did you see the BBC were reporting the other day there's a comment piece saying the English National Opera should look to Alex Ferguson as a new CEO, saying they need an inspirational leader and he'd be the great man to do it. And it's like, that's a really bizarre story, given that one, he's Scottish, and two, I don't think he's got any musical history at all.
It's like when people say that Alan Sugar should run for mayor.
Yeah.
It's just because he's a notable figure with authority. It doesn't mean it's, you know, he could be brilliant at everything he turns his hand
to. Well, look at Greg Dyke. I mean, what's he doing at the FA, for crying out loud?
He just moves around different CEO positions.
But that's the thing, CEOs do transfer, or kind of heads of companies do just
Adam
kind of
Crozier's
move
is another one. He's similar. But I'm not, by the way, can I just say, in case there was any sort of ambivalence whatsoever about this, ambiguity, sorry, about
I'm it. For it.
I think Ferguson should do it. I'm just saying, it'd be a bizarre appointment.
Yeah, I mean, Louis van Gaal is way more musical.
Oh, he'd be brilliant.
Louis
van Gaal is...
Play all of the saxophones all the time.
Ferguson's first appointment should be Louis van Gaal as conductor.
Yeah.
Right. This lady, she played the saxophone. Not in the middle of the music.
He should be mic'd up.
Yeah, definitely.
He should have like a Madonna-style headpiece. He should tell them.
Like a Vogue, that'd be fantastic.
He should tell them what to do. He shouldn't properly conduct. It'd be a new style.
He is a Madonna-style headpiece, honestly. You're listening to the Football Ramble, if you're not already familiar. I thought I was on air. I thought I was live there for a second. Never mind. Let's get on to our final match we're going to talk about.
Another one of your little bubbles.
What?
Move!
Give him more
move
wine,
over.
Wine from the...
Usually do this. What?
Give him more under the skin of wine.
No, you're having a breakdown.
He's firmly in his cups.
Unbelievable. Did you hear the Sean Monday? It was dreadful.
Was I on it?
Aston Villa, Chelsea. Oh, that was a weird few days, wasn't it?
Here?
What?
Because Remy Gard's gone.
Was Remy Gard's gone and they got rid of him during an England international?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Everyone's heads are turned.
Yeah, very strange that.
That was the most undignified thing since Gus Poyet found out about his firing on Match of the Day.
That's fair.
Someone had to break. Was it Mark Chapman had to break the news to him or Lineker? One of the
didn't
two.
Have to, though, did he?
Chose to.
Yeah, chose to.
Journalist knows. So viral. I'm not letting anyone else have this.
Let's get viral. He says, which is what I say before every sexual conquest.
Everyone. There's so many. Yeah. Chelsea will win this game. Let's do the bet of the week.
Well, our bet of the week this week is sponsored by Bet365 on bet365.com. We're going to go for Leicester to win 1-0, I do believe. Is that right?
Yeah, Leicester have won a lot of games 1-0 in the recent past, and it seems to me like they're turning into a bit of a. Was it Manchester United won the title doing that a number of years ago? They just beat everyone 1-0 for ages. Mm. So Leicester to beat Southampton 1-0 is 6-1 with Bet365. So we will be placing £50 on that as a charity bet, with all proceeds going, of course, to Prostate Cancer UK. £50 on that at 6-1 obviously returns us £350, so a £300 profit. And please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to gamble. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Yeah, it's a great website. Not as good as footballramble.com, though, but it's good. It's up there.
They're both fine.
They're both fine. And bet365.com, of course. Do you want some correspondence?
Yes.
I've been in the email box and I found some emails. This one comes from George Vaughan Barrett. Hello, George Vaughan Barrett. GVB, for short, I'm going to call him. I've just been on holiday to sunny Lisbon, where upon searching TripAdvisor for the best place to watch the football, I was confronted by the aptly named Irish pub with the notorious Barrio Alto district, or in the notorious Barrio Alto district. I dragged my unwilling girlfriend along, blah, blah, blah. I was watching a lot of English tourists watching the game. Then out of the shadows, like a nightcrawler, cradling a Guinness, comes none other than Brighton's finest, Steve Sidwell.
Cradling Ooh. A Guinness?
Yep. I was a little shocked at first and whispered to a few English blokes, "Is that Steve Sidwell?" To which confusion led to some quick Google searches just to make sure we were correct. Things were about to get interesting. Now, I got excited about this part of the email.
Do the second part next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Like cereal.
Turn to page 92. Yeah. On a purely logistical note, you'll be pleased to hear that he celebrated all the goals despite his perhaps odd relationship with English football. Did he have any odd relationship with English football? I don't really understand that.
Chelsea for a bit. Yeah.
However, the highlight of the night was Steve walking around the bar with a dildo strapped to his head. All in all, a top chap.
Well, okay.
So there we go.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, it really did.
Up until that point, I thought walking around with a dildo attached to your head and being a top chap were mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
How wrong I was.
Well, you could hide it under a top hat. You could be a top hat dildo chap.
You've done it before.
Yeah, I know. That's how I conceal it. Right, this one comes from Ewan Rowe. Hello, Ewan. Gentlemen, do you know the teams who have gone the longest since finishing in the top six of any division?
No, now, but Ewan Rowe must be a friend of the Ramble. I've heard him.
I've heard that. Yeah, definitely. So, the teams who have gone longest since finishing in the top six of any division, right? So, I had to get my head around this.
Yeah, I don't understand the question.
Right.
So whatever division they're in, they've not finished in the top six in that division.
Right.
So if they get relegated, then they go to the league below, obviously. They've not finished in the top six there either.
Right.
Okay. That's right, yeah?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. So I had to double-check the winner on this one, and he's correct. Right, so in four, Portsmouth, 13 years.
Is it Portsmouth? Yeah.
13 years. Fulham, 15 years. They've not finished top six. Bradford, 17 years. They still managed a promotion by finishing seventh.
Oh, from League Two,
and winning the League Two playoffs.
Yeah.
Coventry, 46 years.
Wow.
What a start.
Because obviously they started in League One, Division One, then they were in the Premier League, then they... Coventry City, the worst team to sport in England, he says. After spending 34 years in the top flight, albeit with one glory year of 1987, when I think they won the FA Cup, didn't they? We've sunk two divisions, moved into a stadium which is three times too big for us, had 2-point deductions, seen all of our best players, such as Callum Wilson and Scott Dan Sold, moved out of the stadium, played 35 miles away in Northampton for a season, and have now bottled our best chance of finishing in the top six since 1970. After going top of League One at the end of November, Coventry have won four times in 21 games, falling to mid-table obscurity. So Pete and Jim can shut up about Newcastle and Arsenal. Coventry City fans are truly the longest-suffering fans in the country. An unnecessary dig at the end, that.
No.
The beautiful game.
Yeah, but, you know, they have to live in Coventry, mate.
I've got a quick bit of correspondence. Do you want to end on that?
I've got one.
Do you want
more?
This one's very pithy, so you go ahead.
Okay.
You go first.
Pithy after silliness.
Yeah.
Right, okay, cool. This one's filth. hello, Dan Bright. Dan Bright says, hiya, guys. Just recently started listening to the podcast. Helped me through my dissertation. He goes on to say some nice things. Thank you, Dan. We're not
some
read
of our listeners
though.
Are university educated.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Not quite yet.
Let's put those rumours to bed.
Some of our listeners are undergraduates.
have debt. Let's have debt and free time. On with the story. In year six, I went to school with Patrick Berger's son. For his 10th or 11th birthday, I can't remember which. I went round to his house for a party. A couple of hours later, and maybe some dodgy cake, I ended up blocking his toilet.
Oh, no.
Berger himself came in with a plastic bag wrapped around his arm.
Oh, nice!
And shoved his hand down the loo to clear it. Saw him several years later outside of Villa Park, and he walked past me, looked me in the eyes, and walked off tutting to himself. Technically a great footballer and decent with a plastic bag around his arm.
Hope he washed his hands.
Yeah, I mean, so if a footballer's ever dislodged a chunk of your excrement with his hands, do get in touch. shortthefootballramble.com.
I've just got a piece of correspondence here from Owen Tracy, who got in touch on Twitter with a nice little Jeff Goldblum quote.
Okay.
He says, Jeff, this is a quote from Jeff Goldblum apparently. He says, people always ask me how I pronounce my name, Goldblum or Goldblum. I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
Good.
Wonderful.
Thanks for that, Owen. That's excellent.
Lovely.
Enjoyed that.
Lovely old job. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your Goldblum updates. You can get in touch with the show at show@thefootballramble.com. We can be found at thefootballramble.com. Go on there, go on our YouTube page as well. You can see the fantastic stuff that Dean's done for 44 Toons. That's 442 with a 2, Oons, etc. We'll be back on Monday for more Football Ramble fun. Is that all?
Yes.
Have we covered everything? Thank you for joining me, Luke.
I'm spent.
Thank you for joining me, Jim, and RIP Marcus. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.